The following is a lecture at Vedic Culture Center, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 26th, 2008, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Mrit means death, and Amrit means deathless. So, the only thing that's really nectarian is that which is deathless.
Tas dalykas, kas iš tikrųjų gali būti nektaras, tai turi būti nemirtingas.
Show me any nectar in this material world that's deathless.
Rodykite bent vieną nektarą iš tam pasaulyje, kuris yra nemirtingas.
There is none.
Tokio nėra.
They think that so many things are nectar.
Jie galvoja, kad tiek daug dalykų yra nektaras.
They think that sex is nectar.
Galvoja, kad seksas yra nektaras.
They think that money is nectar.
Pinigai nektaras.
They think that power is nectar. They think that fame is nectar. But each and every one of these things, sex, money, fame and power, they are all subject to death. Therefore, they are not nectar. The only thing which is nectar is that which is deathless. So what is actually deathless nectar? That nectar is the nectar tasted on the spiritual platform. Beyond the rotting corpse that is called your body. We take these bodies to be very, very precious things, don't we? We want to satisfy the senses of these bodies, don't we? The tongue, the genitals, the false ego. We are very keen and eager to satisfy these senses. But is this body immortal or is it mortal? This body can be finished at any minute. Therefore, any happiness which is based on your material body is simply an illusion. You cannot be happy on the bodily platform. If there was a big bowl of strawberry ice cream sitting in front of you, and you wanted to satisfy yourself with that big bowl of strawberry ice cream, and you dipped your shirt sleeve in the ice cream, could you get satisfaction by dipping your shirt sleeve in the ice cream? No, of course not. You simply get your shirt dirty, that's all. If you want to actually get the satisfaction from the bowl of strawberry ice cream, you have to put it in your mouth, don't you? Then you will get the satisfaction from the bowl of strawberry ice cream. So what we're doing is this material body is just the shirt sleeve, you see. And the soul is, in this example, is the tongue. In other words, we're trying to gratify with this body, but just a covering, it's not the real self. Why are you trying to satisfy the covering? Why don't you try to satisfy the self, you see? This is intelligent. Satisfy the self, don't satisfy the covering. So Krishna consciousness is meant for the intelligent class of people. Those who realize that they're not their body. Those who realize that the actual happiness is on the platform of the spiritual being. the real self who is transcendental to the laws of material nature. Therefore, these intelligent class of men and women, they dedicate their lives to awakening the consciousness of a living being within the body. They do not wish to remain asleep in the lap of illusion. They want to know who they actually are beyond this temporary rotting corpse. Therefore, they take help from a bona fide spiritual master. They take help from the sadhus, saintly devotees. And they take help in the revealed scriptures to awaken their actual identity beyond this material body, which is meant to have a personal and intimate loving relationship with the Supreme Person. The source of all existence. So, this is the mission of a bona fide spiritual master. He wants to deliver those persons who are in illusion to a state of pure Krishna consciousness. So that they can relish the sweetest nectar at every minute. He cannot tolerate to see even one person suffering in illusion. He wants that every man, woman, and child on the face of the planet Earth shall become awakened in Krishna consciousness and thus taste the sweetest happiness at every minute. This is the mission of the bona fide spiritual master. He has not come to take your money. He simply wants to take your anxieties. He's a master thief. And he will rob your anxieties out of your heart. Shishi Garnitai Ki Jai. So, in this way, we can understand what is the importance of our human life. It is not meant for imitating the ways of the dogs and the hogs that eat stool. It is meant for performing penance and austerity to awaken divine consciousness within. And thus achieve that platform where there is unlimited spiritual bliss, ever increasing at every minute. So in this way, try to understand what your real mission is. Try to understand what your real duty is. And take up your duty with full enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Don't be carried away by basketball or other such diversions. But focus your heart completely on awakening the divine consciousness within. This is why you exist. You exist to have a perfect loving relationship with the Supreme Person. Not to waste your time playing around in misery. In Lithuania. Or in any other corner of this miserable world. You are meant to live as an eternal resident of Vaikuntha realm. Sporting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Vrindavan forest. on the bank of the Jamuna, on Govardhan Hill. This is what you're actually meant to do. Not to be a beast of burden in this world. But to attend the ultimate Hare Krishna festival in the spiritual sky. And no more coming back to the Monday morning daily grind. So, that's it. Do you understand your duty now? Do you understand your mission? Are you ready to execute it with full determination, enthusiasm and patience? Or are you still hesitant? You want to continue dancing with Srimati Maya Devi? What is your decision? It's your decision, you know that. No one's going to make the decision for you. You can dedicate your this very minute now, you can fully dedicate yourself to Krishna for all of eternity. Or you can continue hanging on to your material attachments. What will you do? Whatever you do will affect your future. If you choose to continue embracing Maya, Krishna will facilitate your desire. This is confirmed in the 15th chapter, text number 15 of the Bhagavad Gita. Sarvashyataham hridisannavishto mataksmatir jnanam upohanam cha. Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart. And from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So if you would just like to remember Krishna once a week on Sunday, he will give you 6.5 days of forgetfulness. If you want to remember Krishna at every minute, he will give you that facility. Whatever you want, he will give you. Even if you want to deny his existence, he will give you all the scientific arguments to prove that he doesn't exist. To prove that the Vedic conclusions are old-fashioned and outdated. Whatever you want, Krishna will give you. So, do you want to remember Krishna or do you want to forget Krishna? Krishna is very kind. He's very lenient. He'll give you what you want. But the spiritual master isn't like that. He forces you to remember Krishna, whether you like it or not. Therefore, the guru is called heavy. He forces you to remember Krishna. Therefore, we pray to the spiritual master. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was standing in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master came with the torchlight of knowledge, and he forced my eyes open. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. See, the guru never plays a neutral role. And if you want to forget Krishna, he will talk about the Beatles. He will say, no, you have to come back to Krishna. You must come back to Krishna. See, Krishna will allow you, as a supercell, he will let you go wherever you want to go. If you're more interested in football than you are in Krishna, he will give you many football games to attend. If you're more interested in sex pleasure, he'll give you so many sex partners. Whatever you want, Krishna will give you as a supercell. The spiritual master draws a hard line. He says, if you don't take Krishna, then you must take birth and death. He makes it very clear. Either Krishna or birth and death, your choice. Do you want to get sick? Do you want to get old? Do you want to die? Any volunteers? Anybody want to die right now? I have a knife right here. No, we don't want death. I was only joking, I don't have a knife. We don't want death. We want eternal existence. As long as you embrace sense gratification, you are embracing death, and there is nothing further to be said in this connection. There's only one way to attain Krishna. And you must eschew sense gratification. You know that word, eschew? It means give it up. Eschew means to give it up. You must give up all forms of sense gratification. Totally eschew sense gratification. And take the ultimate happiness of Krishna consciousness. Chanting, dancing, feasting on the most delicious food in the whole universe. Krishna prasadam. Associating with the most wonderful enlightened spiritual masters and sadhus. On the most amazing journey beyond this material existence, back to that transcendental abode, Sri Goloka Vrindavan, where it's never too cold and it's never too hot and it's never too wet and it's never too dry. Where it's always the most wonderful atmosphere with beautiful flowers and trees and butterflies and birds. Waterfalls and valuable jewels everywhere. Everything is unbelievably beautiful and wonderful. Where all the walking is dancing. Where all the speaking is singing. Where breathing is like pure ambrosia. So we invite everyone to come. We invite everyone to come on this journey back to home, back to Godhead. I've come here today to pass out free tickets on this ultimate journey. Srila Prabhupada is the pilot. And I am the ticket agent. Do you want a free ticket on this flight? Or do you want to stay in Kaunas? If you want this ticket, there is one price that you have to pay. In Sanskrit, it's called Shraddha. It means faith. You must put your faith that this ticket will carry you beyond the cycle of birth and death. If you don't put your faith in the ticket, it won't get you on the airplane. You must put your faith in the ticket that I am giving you today. And if you do put your faith in this ticket, I absolutely guarantee you, you have a reserved seat on the airplane that's going back to Goloka Vrindavan. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yes.
Vakar studijos tokia situacija su išdidumu. Ir prisimenu, kaip ir gopės lygtais buvo, kai iššoko miške mėnesienoj. Jos irgi vienu metu pradėjo didžiuotis ir Krišna dingo. Bet tas išdidumas jisai skiriasi nuo mūsų. Ir norėjau paklausti, koks tas yra tikrasis išdidumas. Nu, pasmenas.
Yesterday I had a realization about the pride. I was in situation when I was pride. And also the gopis, when they were dancing with Krishna, they also at some time became proud. So I want to ask, but there is difference between their pride and my pride. So I want to ask...
Big difference.
I want to ask, what is this spiritual pride? What is this spiritual pride?
Spiritual pride is very nice. That's why I wear tilak. Because I'm proud of this Vaishnava culture. That's why I shave my head and wear a dhoti and a nekbid. Even when I travel all over the world, I wear a dhoti. Because I'm proud of Prabhupada. I'm proud of ISKCON. And I'm proud of this Krishna consciousness movement. That is spiritual pride.
Maybe I am wrong, but I think that pride means to think that I'm greater, isn't it?
Oh, yes. There's pride in yourself, and that pride is no good. But you can be proud of things other than yourself, and if those things are Krishna conscious, then that's very good.
But jeigu didžiuojatės kitais dalykais, bet ne savimi, ir kur tie dalykai yra Krishna sąmoningi, tada yra gerai.
It's like there's a common saying, oh, I'm so proud of you. Because you have accomplished this, you see. Like if the child gets some special award at school, then the parents will say, oh, my dear son, we're so proud of you. So, a devotee is very proud of the Krishna consciousness process. He doesn't think that he is great. He's very humble. When it comes to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, he is very proud and he pushes it forward with great strength and determination. Just like Srila Prabhupada stated, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. He's not proud of himself, but he's proud of this knowledge. He's proud of Krishna. He's proud of his Guru Maharaj. But himself he feels very small and insignificant. This is spiritual pride. Do you understand?
Aš manau, kad mano tikėjimas labai silpnas. Kaip man jį padidinti?
I think that my faith is very little. How can I increase?
This is a very nice question, Dasarath Prabhu.
Labai geras klausimas.
The way to increase faith is you have to find people whose faith is very strong.
Būdas, kaip padidinti savo tikėjimą, yra surasti tuos žmones, kurie turi didžiulį tikėjimą.
then you have to hold on to their feet. You find someone whose faith is very strong and hold on to their feet and never let go. And then, just as they have strong faith, but because you are connected with them, you will have strong faith also. Faith is a contagious disease. If you associate closely with people who have this disease, then you will also catch it. Actually, Prabhupada defines faith very nicely in this way. He says, faith is unflinching trust in something sublime. So what does unflinching mean? It means you can never be deviated. No matter how many atheists may attack you for your belief, your faith in Krishna, you will fight with great power and determination to defeat their atheism. In fact, Srila Prabhupada told us like this. There is a Sanskrit word, it means called Digvijay. Digvijay means one who conquers in all directions. So Srila Prabhupada told us, he said, now you go from village to village, city to city, and town to town. And make Digvijay. That there is God. I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on. This mood, you see, like a fighter. You face all the atheists. You face all the followers of this rascal Charles Darwin. And you smash them. You see, this is faith. Any other question?
Mes mokiniai turi privalo siekti mokytojo nurodymais, bet jos galima siekti aklai ir galima naudotis intelektu. Kaip tai pasireiškia?
A disciple, he follows the instruction of the spiritual master, but he can do it blindly or he can do it by understanding the instruction. So how can you comment on this?
Well, blind following is better than no following. But blind following is dangerous. Because if you don't know why you're following, then you can turn around and reject also. So, you are my disciple. You should know why you're my disciple. If you're simply following me blindly, then you may... Someone may else may come and you may follow them blindly. You have to know why are you my disciple. You have to have very solid philosophical understanding why you're a devotee of Krishna. And why you have taken shelter of me as your spiritual master. You have to understand very solidly why you have done this. You have to know why it is that I am qualified to take you out of the cycle of birth and death. You have to know this. And if you don't know it, then you have to find out. Talk with your God brothers. Read Prabhupada's books. Inquire from your spiritual master also in this way. You are now studied in law. You are a law graduate. So, now you must become a lawyer of Vedic laws also. You have spent years studying Lithuanian law. So that you can be a master of Lithuanian law. Now you must study Vedic law. Because, so you'll be a master of Vedic law also. This Lithuanian law, it comes and goes. In the past, there was no Lithuanian. And in the future, there will be no Lithuanian. Simply in the middle, there is a place called Lithuania. With its Lithuanian laws. But the Vedic laws of Krishna, they have always existed. And they will always exist. Therefore, you should become very, very, very expert in Vedic law. And then you will understand why you are my disciple. Any other question?
The more one has taste for spiritual life, the more one can be detached from sense gratification, right? So, how to avoid this trap of trying artificially renounce sense gratification without actually having sufficient taste for Krishna consciousness?
Mm. Yes, it is explained by Krishna.
Ir klausimas buvo toks, kad sako žmogus, kai gauna aukštesnį skonį, tada kuo daugiau gauna, to jis daugiau gali atmesti ir tos malonumus juslinius, kurie yra kaip nuodai. Bet jeigu žmogus neturi to aukštesnio skonio ir jeigu jis bando atmesti, tai yra toks kaip dirbtinumas, tai kaip išvengti to dirbtinumo?
You know that verse, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 59?
Ar žinote Bhagavad Gita's antras skyrius 59 tekstą?
You know that verse?
Vishaya
vinivartante nirahara sadehina rasavarsham rishopyasya parang vishnuvanivartate. You know the translation?
Almost, I remember.
The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains.
Bet skonis ir potraukis susiniam objektam išlieka.
But ceasing such engagements,
bet nutraukti tokius susiemimus,
by experiencing a higher taste,
pakeičiant juos aukštesnius skonį,
he is fixed in consciousness.
Toks žmogus įsitvirtina tokioj sąmonėj.
There is a Hare Krishna cookbook named after that verse.
Ir Hare Krishnas kepimo knyga, kuri pavadinta pagal tą.
You may have seen that Hare Krishna cookbook called Higher Taste. So it's very simple. You have simple Bhakta Leonard, you simply have to get a higher taste, that's all. Krishna consciousness is not a process of dry renunciation. That I am frustrated, I have all these material desires. And I can't gratify them. Oh! It is not like that. That I'm frustrated. You see. I want to have sex. I want to get as much money as possible. I want power. I want fame. But I have to renounce them. Oh, not like that. You see. By the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master, you will experience a taste which is millions and billions of times more pleasurable than sex, more enlivening than having billions and billions of dollars, more exciting than becoming the most powerful and famous person on the entire planet. You simply have to get the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master. That's all that's required. But if you remain doubtful, then you're putting a block, or the mercy will not come. It will bounce off of your block. You have to remove the block. So the mercy will enter your heart. And then you will get that higher taste. And then your renunciation will not be dry renunciation. And then the thought of material sense pleasure will be repulsive to you. Have you heard of Jamunacharya?
Yeah.
You know that shloka?
Yada
avadhi mama chaita. I've told you before, I think. Krishna padara vinde nava navarasa damunyantaran tumasitadavadi vatanari sangame smaryamani pavati muku nushtivanam cha. Ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, deriving ever-increasing pleasure from that service, whenever the thought of sex pleasure enters into my brain, my lips curl with this taste, and I spit at the thought. So you simply have to cultivate that higher taste. Take the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master. Engage yourself enthusiastically in the process of Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. And then the next time Maya Devi offers herself, her charms to you, you see. And you can reject, just like Haridas Thakur, you see. He was saying, yes, yes, Maya, but I have to finish my chanting first. We can think about sense gratification later on, but now I have my chanting to do. You simply have to develop a taste for the holy name, that's all. And you know how to get a taste for the holy name? Don't try to get a taste out of the holy name. That's the first point. Try to give Krishna taste by the way that you chant his name. Try to please Krishna and Guru by the way that you chant. Chant for the pleasure of the spiritual master and Krishna, not for your pleasure. Isn't it better to give than to receive? So if you're trying to get something for yourself, even in spiritual life, then you're still tinged with selfishness. So simply try to give pleasure to the spiritual master in Krishna by chanting in a devotional way for their enjoyment. Do you think Guru and Krishna cannot hear your chanting? Your chanting is being noticed. So you must chant for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. And when you do that, you will taste unlimited happiness in the names. And you wouldn't even dream of going back to sense gratification ever again. Once you really know what is the pleasure of the holy name, you wouldn't even dream of going back to Maya Devi's lap ever again. Is that clear? Now you follow this. No more deviations ever again. Not from artificial restraint, but from higher taste. You may have grown up eating stool, but once you're introduced to strawberry ice cream, you're no longer attracted to stool, you see. Krishna consciousness is like strawberry ice cream. Sense gratification is like eating stool.
Now
for a hog, you think stool is very nice. So don't be like a hog. You become Paramahamsa, a swan-like devotee of the Lord. That is my order to you. Now you follow it. Any other questions? So everybody's happy now and satisfied? Yes.
I have asked a few people, few devotees who are practicing for a long time, that do they taste the higher pleasure, higher happiness? And the answer was very not sure, not 100% the answer.
That means their practice is defective.
Tai reiškia, kad jų praktika yra sutrūkumas.
One whose practice is proper will get the higher taste pretty quickly.
Tas, kuris praktikuoja teisingai, jis tikrai gaus aukštesnį skonį.
Any other questions? You can be practicing for a long time.
Galim praktikuoti labai ilgai.
But if your practice is defective, then the result will not be there. In English, there's a saying, practice makes perfect. But that doesn't apply if your practice is improper. If you practice Krishna consciousness in the wrong way, you can practice for millions of years and never get the higher taste. This is confirmed by Srila Prabhupada. He says that if you chant the holy names with offense, you can go on chanting for millions of years and not go back to Godhead. So the simple formula is this. If you chant with offenses, you will never... If you continue to commit offenses against the holy name, then you will never get the higher taste. But if you strictly avoid the offenses against the holy name, then very quickly you will get taste. Therefore, every morning in the temple we recite the 10 offenses. Are you familiar with the 10 offenses?
Very little.
You need to ask one of the devotees to give you a list. It's in there to give you a list. You must learn how to avoid those offenses. If you can chant and avoid the offenses, then very quickly you will advance and get a very wonderful taste for Krishna consciousness. There won't be any doubt in your mind. You will know I'm getting a wonderful, wonderful taste. Does that answer your question?
Jeigu mes praktikuojam ir vis dėlto darom įžeidimus, ar tai reiškia, kad mes negavom aukštesnio skonio, o jeigu gavom, tai kas mus verčia daryti tos įžeidimus šventam vardui? Mūsų išdidumas ar smegenų mažumas?
If we practice Krishna consciousness and we are still doing some offenses, does it mean that we did not even get a higher taste? Or we get a higher taste, but we are still doing some nonsense?
It's as simple as this.
Era paprasta, labai.
To whatever extent you're practicing it properly, to that extent you will get a higher taste.
Iki to lygio, kiek teisingai praktikuojat, iki to lygio gausite.
And to whatever extent you're not practicing it properly, to that extent you will not get a higher taste. So how much of a higher taste would you like? A full taste or a partial taste? You want the full nectar or a little bit? You know, your choice. You want the full nectar, then fully follow the process. If you want half the nectar, then follow the process halfway. Your choice. Any other questions? Everybody's ready now to take it up full? Or do you want to do it half or 25%? Or 1%? Your choice. How much nectar do you want? How much do you want to relish spiritual bliss at every minute? A pleasure greater than all the pleasures of material sense gratification multiplied by 10 trillion. A pleasure equally experienced by Krishna himself. Can you imagine enjoying on the same level with God? It's available to you. You can taste pleasure on the same level that God is tasting pleasure. But you have to become pure. No more lust. No more anger. Except against Darwin, of course. No more greed. No more madness. No more illusion. And no more envy. Are you ready? Do you want it? Or not? If you want it, then go for it. With great enthusiasm. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Dedicate your life completely to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Any other questions? If not, we'll end here. So I thank you all very much. For your kind attention. Hare Krishna.